delighted to welcome former chair of the U.S. House Intelligence Committee, current candidate for the United States Senate, Mike Rogers. Mike, thank you for calling in. I know how busy you are these days.
Hey, Sandy, it is always great to hear your voice and all the things that you're doing for the city of Detroit and the greater Michigan economy, so I'm glad to be here.
Well, let's talk about the Michigan economy. As you know, we've been kind of beating the drumbeat that, you know, Michigan's house is on fire. We have an education challenge. We have population growth challenge. We have GDP growth challenges. And you've been on the campaign trail talking about things like, you know, housing affordability and education. What are you hearing and what are you talking about as you go across the state campaigning for the United States Senate?
Yeah, the first and to me foremost and the most important thing we must fix is education. We have a literacy problem in America. One in four fourth graders can read at the fourth grade, and why that's a problem, Sandy, is if you can't read in the fourth grade by the fourth grade, you have a 70% chance of going to prison and being on welfare. People get it. People know something's broken, and we have absolutely got to change the trajectory of that. I've got a plan to make sure that those kids can read at the fourth grade through reading reclamation and injecting phonics back into the classroom. We think that we can help turn this thing around pretty quickly, but it's just going to take effort and somebody who's committed to getting it fixed. If we don't do that, our business, our economy, and the future of the state, I think, is in peril. And so we've got to fix that. Got a plan to do that. And second, on housing, I mean, people are frustrated. You're 40 years old, so you can buy your first home is now the average here in Michigan, 40. I mean, when I was growing up, it was 28. And you think 12 years of lost equity for so many home buyers here in Michigan is wrong. So we've come out with a plan to assist with down payments by expanding 529 savings accounts so you save tax-free and your business can contribute tax-free and grandma can give you a little bit of money if she has the ability to do it. And, you know, it won't count against you like it does today. You know, lowering interest rates by ensuring Michiganders get credit for timely rent payments, which doesn't happen today, and bring down purchase prices by cutting red tape and regulations. And then incentives for builders in new home building. You know, just a quick example of Detroit, 122,000 lots. If we tell builders, you go in and build on one of these lots, sell it to a family, not a corporation, you get 100% of the sale of that is tax-free to the federal government. I've talked to builders. They're excited about this. That would be worth them taking the chance and the risk to build homes down in the city of Detroit. So those are the kinds of things we've heard and talked about and really created plans for our state to get back up on her feet.
Well, and people always wonder why builders really only build high-end houses. And it's because of the regulation, the red tape, the standards that you have to meet, and it's only profitable for builders to build these high-end homes and high-end neighborhoods, and you know the rest of us are kind of left behind, not being able to afford a house. And Michigan has one of the lowest new house building rates in the country.
Yeah, no, it is bad. And so, you know, I argue the Democrats have been in control of Lansing for the better part of a decade and over a quarter century for these two U.S. Senate seats. Just in that last better part of a decade, $25,000 in new regulatory costs per home. And why that's important, Sandy, is every $1,000 you raise a house of a new home like that, it takes out 3,200 Michigan families from being able to buy that home. So every $1,000 of new regulation, new cost, is really hurting people who are trying to get into their first home. And that's why I think that people are going to, as you said, going into these higher, higher value homes. They can build better margins in those homes. There's, you know, people can get the loans to buy them, which we have to change all that. And we have to kind of break this regulatory government monopoly that they have on raising costs of housing. There's a way to do this that is, you know, that to make sure you get a great, safe home, but it doesn't cost you that $25,000 in new regulatory costs. And think about if we can do that and break that chain for housing in the city of Detroit, I think it does catch fire. As I said, I've talked to a lot of builders, said if we can get this done, which we will, this will change the way that we build. And we're going to stop talking about how many homes we tear down in Detroit, and we're going to start talking about how many homes we build in Detroit. And that's a way I think we can turn this around and get building back into the city and other places around the state as well.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a nationwide problem, not just a Detroit problem, and I really appreciate your focus on it. You know, so when we overlapped in Washington, obviously you served in Congress, I was in the executive branch, I really appreciated your approach. You were a guy who got stuff done and would work with both sides. Things have changed in the last few years. You know, we've become more politically polarized in our nation. How do you intend to kind of approach that should you get elected to the U.S. Senate?
Yeah, and so think of the things we just talked about. So we can start by agreeing on the premise: education system is broken. Our kids can't read. We have a literacy problem and a math problem, and we've got to fix it. It's not fair that the schools have become a pipeline to poverty, not only in Michigan but around the country. I think that, you know, we can go in and have conversations with people of the other party and say, hey, look, we can fix this. It's going to take us working together. You know, even when I was in, it wasn't all that chic to try to reach across the aisle on some issues to get them done. But it takes leadership and, you know, conviction that we can actually fix the problem. I think we can get people engaged in the idea that our kids have to read, that we need shop class back in every high school in a place like Michigan, that we can want to grow our access to people who are interested and attracted to skilled trades in a way that we just don't do or make available today. So I think that there's ways that we can do that by just sitting down. And it takes both sides. If you have somebody that's not willing to listen on being, you know, working with the other team, guess what? You move on to the next office. And then you can build support that way. I think the same on housing. You know, big government housing programs in D.C. aren't working very well, candidly. And so this is a way for us to reach across the aisle, say we have a way to do this. It won't be a big government program, and it empowers people to change their neighborhoods, change their communities, and own their first home a lot earlier than the age of 40. I think I can get people there.
Well, Mike Rogers, candidate for the U.S. Senate, thank you for calling in. Thank you for your lifetime service in public service. And I know I'm going to see you real soon, and my best to Christie.
Hey, thanks so much, Sandy. Appreciate it.
All right, folks. Let's thank Mike Rogers, and we'll be right back, folks.